Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, standing with me, and we're going to go to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Somebody say love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, read this with me, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to take the next several Wednesdays, probably take 4 Wednesdays and cover this. And we're going to talk about Always in Season. Always in Season. And I'm going to talk about the 9 attributes, characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. And I failed to tell us that next Wednesday, somebody say next Wednesday. Next Wednesday is July 4th. It's a holiday. And we will not have any midweek service here that day. But everybody ought to show up for prayer meeting on Thursday. And so won't have midweek Wednesday. Have some family time. Don't blow up anything you shouldn't be blowing up. And but be at prayer meeting on Thursday. And I understand it's a change in schedule, and it is what it is. But let's do what we can to be here Thursday. If you can't be here Thursday, I get it, I understand. But if you can be here and you're sitting at home every Thursday at 7, this ought to be the Thursday you come. But always in Season, the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul writes to the Galatians, and the Galatians are people of Galatia, but Galatia was a province. Galatia, there was not a city of Galatia, but it was a province. It was an area, kind of like we would call the Central Coast. So Paul would be writing to the folks that live on the Central Coast. Galatia is in Asia Minor. At that time, we would know today as modern-day Turkey. The Apostle Paul started these churches with Barnabas. There was approximately 5 of them that he had the privilege of starting and ministering in. In fact, Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 14, you kind of read that in correlation to what's taking place in the book of Galatians. So you got to read the whole Bible to understand a lot of the things that you're reading. You can't just take bits and pieces in the verse of the day, scripture of the day. You got to read it in its totality, because if you're not reading the book of Acts, you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff that takes place in Paul's writing, in the epistles, because it's where his conversion is at. And there's a lot of places that the apostles went when the gospel went in Acts chapter 1 and 8, where you'd be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, to the othermost parts of the earth. They went to those othermost parts of the earth. And Galatia was one of that. Paul writes this epistle to call the Christians to faith and to freedom in Christ. The scripture will tell us that he that the Son has set free is free indeed. How many can agree with that? You're free. And Paul is writing with this. And I'm going to make probably just build a foundation and then make a point tonight, maybe 2 at most. But so I'm going to take a little bit longer with the foundation. Several of you have mentioned that it helps to build a foundation, telling you about some of the background. So when you go back and you read it, it really helps you out. So Paul, in this setting, it is believed that Paul didn't actually write this letter himself by his own hand. He wrote it. It was dictated. But there is a part of it, and I want to say it's in Galatians 6, where he actually says, you see how large of letters that I've wrote, because I wrote this with my own hand. Paul suffered from what we would know today as cataracts. He had cataracts. He had a thorn in his flesh, other physical problems. And so he oftentimes would dictate or speak, and then somebody would be writing with that. But Paul is speaking and writing to the churches in Galatia. And notice in Galatians 1 and 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. That's what that is, Galatians 1 and 2. There were churches in Galatia, and that's what he was writing to. And so there is a time frame when Paul writes, and most of the time Paul would write when he was either in prison or under house arrest. And I bring this up when I talk about Paul, because Paul did not allow his situations to limit his ministry. You think about that. Paul used his downtime as an advantage to bless us. We have never met Paul, but we're blessed by Paul's ministry. And some will say, well, man, what if I get locked up? Well, hopefully you don't, but you use that to your advantage to let the gospel move forth. And so, the church was important to Paul, and he was writing to them to tell them to follow the apostolic doctrine. You see, at this time, there was the folks that were, the Jews that had become Christian, and then you have the Gentiles that had become Christian. And so, you had those that would, worship the Lord, and they had become Christians, but they were still holding on to some of the law or the traditions or the customs of Moses. Kosher food, they would obey the Sabbath, other things that they would do, and they said, well, you have to be a Christian and you have to obey these. But we know that Jesus did not come to condemn the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And so here we have there was a conflict, and so Paul is writing to them and telling them, like, hey, you need to chill out, people. You need to stop listening to these naysayers and understand that when Jesus Christ came, he paid the price once and for all for everybody. In fact, he's very clear in Galatians 1 and 6. If you're taking notes, this is a scripture you ought to know. Galatians 1 and 6 through 9, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This Bible is true. It's infallible. It's inspired. And the apostolic Pentecostal message is not a way. It is the way. Amen. Well, baptism in Jesus' name, repentance, infilling of the Holy Ghost is the plan of salvation. It is the new birth. How many would say amen?
Amen.
Which and not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. So, it's very, very critical that we be hearers of the word, but we do be doers of the word. And you gotta ensure, that's why on Wednesday nights I slow it down, cause Sunday nights, it's exciting, it's rowdy, it's what we call the Sunday night shout, but that'll carry you so far. But it's the nuts and bolts of Wednesday nights that'll keep you. Come on, somebody. Nuts and bolts of Wednesday. You need the Wednesday nights. You need Sunday nights too. You need the Sunday mornings. But it's the Wednesday night. That's why I'm a fanatic about bringing your Bible. Say, well, we trust you, Pastor. Well, you need to read it for yourself. You need to understand. You need to let those words pop out on you. So living in the Central Valley for most of my life, living here on the Central Coast, You learn about the seasons of harvest. And in the Central Valley, there's a particular season of harvest for tomatoes and melons and corn and raisins and oranges and lemons. In fact, right now is kind of the season there in the Central Valley for melons. Tomato season will come here in a couple of weeks. But the same thing here in the Central Coast. There's a season for cauliflower and broccoli and my favorite, boysenberries and strawberries. And there's a particular time when those fruits are harvested. In fact, some of us know a little bit about that because this church sold cherries for a long time. And so you know, if you wanted cherries, you knew that at a certain time, you better buy them, you better get them because they're not going to be available all year long. And so, the fruit of the Spirit, which I'm going to be talking about, it's not a one-time thing. And it's not I have it today and I don't have it tomorrow and I only have it on Sundays. But it should be always in season. The fruit of the Spirit, that one fruit, nine characteristics, attributes, or virtues. That ought to be something that you have all the time. Now I'm gonna qualify this for some of you that are gonna be, oh man, this is gonna take time. Okay? You're not going to get it as soon as you get there's folks that have been in church a long time and they still don't got it, and they're not going to get it because you know why? They're not being faithful, they're not praying, and they're not being doers of the word, and they're not staying connected to the vine. Okay? But none of this is possible unless you have the Holy Ghost. None of this is possible unless you're being a doer of the word. None of this is possible unless you have faithfulness in your life, submission and obedience. You remember, we talked about some of that stuff with the inner man. All this goes together. And so these nine characteristics, these nine virtues are a work, or the working, the production, the productivity of the Holy Ghost. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, well, you got to get it. You need to get it. You say, well, part of it is you got to stick around for altar calls so you can get it. You can't just slip out the back door and say, well, I don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, you got to stick around to get the Holy Ghost. Well, the fruit of the Spirit should always be in season in our lives. Not to say, well, I'm on vacation, so I don't have to have some of these characteristics, virtues, or have what pastor's teaching or what the Word of God talks about. Whether you're on vacation, whether you're in church, whether you're asleep, whether you're at work, at school, whether you're mad, hey, you got to have the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit, but it's got all these attributes. And so I'm going to cover these over the next couple of weeks. The fruit of the Spirit should not be a one day thing. And we all know folks that know somebody that the only time they're kind, loving, joyful is when there's plenty of money or they're on vacation, they had their coffee or they took a nap. Well, that doesn't work with the fruit of the Spirit. You either have it or you don't. You're either letting it be produced in you or you're not. No man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and the devil. You're either going to hate one or you're going to love the other. The fruit of the Spirit is the work of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Somebody say the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost produces these character traits in us. That's what produces it. This is why Paul sets us up when he says, I say walk in the Spirit and you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because they're at enmity with one another. They're battling with one another. And I say it often, but whatever one you feed will grow and have dominance. You feed the flesh, don't be surprised. If you start having some of your old men or old tendencies or sinful and lustful and temptation, you start falling into those things. Because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? The flesh is weak. So if we're walking in the Holy Ghost, we're staying prayed up, we're connected to God, keep our fire going, such as Savannah's saying it. You provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. We are a living sacrifice. That means we put ourselves on the altar, us. The fire burns things out of us and it purifies things. Yeah, yeah. But we got to put ourselves on the altar. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, I die daily. What is he saying? I repent daily. I present myself unto God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. It isn't something say, well, I did something amazing today. No, it's reasonable. That's what it is. It's reasonable. It's kind of like you get drawn for jury duty. You say, oh, I got drawn for jury. Hey, it's expected. There's a pool that they gather from based off of data that's inputted. You want to drive, you want to vote, you want to pay, you don't want to pay taxes, but you pay taxes, guess what? They're going to call your number someday. And you can only get so many extensions for jury duty till they say, you know what? Dude, come serve, we're going to put you in jail. You pay a fine. So vice versa. If you walk in the flesh, you will harvest and reap the flesh. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will reap and harvest spiritual things. These nine characteristics. Notice this. Galatians 5 and 19 through 21. Just in case some of you are wondering what the works of the flesh are. Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery. Fornication. See, we don't call some of these things what they really mean or what they are. Oh, they're just shacking up, or they're just living together, or just sleeping together, or, you know, they're just whatever. But it's still adultery. It's still fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. I'll break some of these down in a minute. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revealings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's an inheritance. Think about that. We are the children. He is the Father. We are brothers and sisters one to another. The church is mama. It's an inheritance. Anybody ever received a financial or an inheritance from a loved one? you got to stick around a long time in order to get it, right? Most cases. Sometimes there's stipulations, right? You don't get all the money until you're 25 or 45 or whatever, 105. You know, there's stipulations into getting to heaven. You cannot behave yourself and be good enough to get into heaven. Because Uncle Ronnie, Bishop Mullings would say, but neither can you misbehave yourself into hell. There's an inheritance. This is nine characteristics or attributes ought to always be in season. You ought to always look at these things that Paul's talking about and say, well, if I don't have them, why don't I have them? How am I doing with this? What can I do to be better? The manifestation of the flesh. So I'm gonna read you something. Romans 6:20 says, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. See, what kind of fruit were you harvesting in the world? Oh, we got down. Yeah. You pickled your liver. That's what you did. Yeah. We partied all night. Some of you can't remember things. Yeah. The fruit of the flesh, back to Galatians 5:19. Notice this in the New Living Translation. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. You know some people like that, right? Quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. How about this one? Selfish ambition. They're only in it for themselves. Narcissism, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. Let me break it down a little bit more simplistic. It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. That's what that means in Galatians 5:19. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Always grabbing for the next thing. That doesn't make you happy, so you're searching for something else. Trinket gods, little g, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness. Tweakers. Cutthroat competition. Not just people in sales. That's just the nature of their business. But cutthroat competition. Your neighbor gets a new car. What happens next weekend? You go buy a car you can't afford to impress them to show them up. Trying to keep up with the Sanchez's or the Jones or whatever it is. All consuming yet never satisfied. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes. Divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Yeah. That's the Word of God says when we break it down to modern terms. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. That, my friends, is the work of the flesh. When you work, you get paid, right? Does anybody like to get paid on Friday or once a month or every other week, right? Nobody? Oh, hands everywhere. The Lord's watching. He say, oh, they don't want to get paid. Does anybody here work for free? No, you go to work, you expect a paycheck when they tell you or a direct deposit. You work, you get results, and you get paid. The payment is the results for the labor that you did. The seed in the ground will produce, but it will only produce whatever the seed in the ground is. A watermelon seed produces a watermelon. Sin produces sin. That's what happens. Works of the flesh will produce works of the flesh. That's the nature of production. That's what happens. The fruit is the natural result of the seed. The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, produces and accomplishes the fruit of the Spirit, the nine attributes or the nine characteristics. That's what happens. We're gonna break these things down, but that's what takes place. And notice this, Luke 6:44. For every tree is known by his own fruit. You are known by what you produce or don't produce. Yeah. You. Pick a category in your life. Your reputation, your character, your integrity, your bank account, your debt, your relationship with others, your relationship with God is you're known by the fruit you produce. Just break it down. Time, talent, treasure. How are we doing? What's the productivity like? The payment for adultery, fornication, theft, witchcraft, hatred, drunkenness, hostility, division, contention is the same that it's always been. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Amen. Lord. That's the payment. You decide heaven or hell, flesh or the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
I don't want none of that garbage in my home, in my life. I don't want to pass on that inheritance to my daughter. I want to give her a good, godly foundation. Because if you got a good, godly foundation, you can build anything on it. Because you know that the rock is a sure foundation.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Romans 6:22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So our fruit ought to represent holiness. Point one, a fruitful Christian has love. Why don't you tell your neighbor, a fruitful Christian has love. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. See, love is probably the most understood word in the world. Part of the problem is because we use one word to try and encompass a whole bunch of things. You know, love is the quiver in my liver. Love is the, as an ocean of emotion. I'm a poet and I didn't know it, huh? But the love that we're talking about here is the agape love. That's what the love. When you break that down, it means the agape love. That's the love that God has for us. It's the love that is giving of oneself. It's the love without strings attached. It's the love that has affection or benevolence. It's a love that produces feelings and emotions. It's the greatest love that we can show one to another or our Heavenly Father shows to us. Only God can produce this kind of love in us. Notice this. Only God can produce the kind of love in us for those kinds of people that hate us, that use us, or aren't like us. Or only God can produce the kind of love in us for people that we don't like. Yeah. See, we have some have a lot of exes. They don't all live in Texas. The agape love. The characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit is love. See, the fruit of the Spirit is always in season. You shouldn't be able to turn it on and off. I sure hope not. See, this can be tough. I know it can be tough to love people that gossip about you or lie about you. They only come around when they want or need something. To love people that do you wrong, and then a few weeks later they fall in hard times and you have the ability to help them. That's love. See, 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's easy to say, well, I love you. But when that person did you wrong and you're driving down the street and you know it's them, you make eye contact and their car's broke down and there's no one around. You know, yeah, true love, brotherly love. Fruit of the Spirit, love, will help them. Yeah. In fact, there's a scripture, I can't remember where it's at this time, but it says that if your enemy is thirsty and you give him water, you give them water. It's in Proverbs. And it's like putting hot coals on them. That's wisdom. It's called love. It's the agape love. How about loving your enemies? Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, love your enemies. Or, Pastor, they're just sinners, right? We don't have to love the sin. No, we have to love the sinners. We hate the sin, but we love the sinners. They make broken promises. They're hypocritical. Pastor, I know we know how you feel about hypocrites. Well, Romans 12 and 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Without dissimulation means let your love be genuine. Let it be real. Don't have hypocritical love. Facade love. Phony love. Have the agape love. See, the scriptures, in fact, loving God and love your neighbor, Jesus talked about this much. Paul reiterated this in Galatians 5 and 13. He says, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but to love, but by love, serve one another. Yeah. See, we do all things for the glory and honor of the Lord. But this is telling us to by love, serve one another. What does that mean? You're ministering one to another. You're serving one another. You ever go to a restaurant and somebody's serving you? That's what this is meaning in this connotation. You serve one another. You're a servant to one another. That's what that means in love. I mean, how else could we, when we do foot washing and or when we do communion, when part of that is between us and the Lord, but the other part is between us and our brother. When we're washing our brother or sister's feet, that's in love. You're serving one another. When somebody's in the hospital or they're not in the hospital or they're going through a rough time and you let brotherly love continue, Hebrews 13 and 1, let brotherly love continue. That's what that means. That's the agape love. That's the love of God. That's a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. You say, well, I just can't be that way. Well, you know what? Maybe you're not as filled with the Holy Ghost as you thought you were. It's tough. It's not easy. I know. It's going to take time. It does take time. I still deal with this stuff. It's love. Because you know why? We don't like everybody, and everybody don't like us. But notice this. God loves each of us as if there's only one of us. It's easy to love people that are kind and lovely like my wife. Right? It's easy to love you, baby. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. But we don't like the way some people talk. Right? We don't like the way some people act. How they dress. They're different than us. Right? We tend to be around people that we like. You got to love those people that you even don't like. John 13 and 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men know that you are my disciples. How are people going to know that you're his disciples? That you also love one another. See, when you love somebody, you can put aside differences. You can compromise. You can put aside personalities. You can put yourself aside. You can put the cost aside. You can put the rewards aside. When you love somebody, you're able to put what it looks like aside. John 14 and 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the word of God tonight. If you love me, keep my commandments. When you love someone or something, you can be patient. You're not jealous. Well, see, jealousy has no business in your home. Husbands shouldn't be jealous of the wife. Kids shouldn't be jealous. You shouldn't be jealous of your kids. And there should not be any jealousy in the church. We need to be all of one heart, one mind, one soul. There should be no jealousy. Because that's the work of the flesh. But love is the work of the Spirit. Whether you're middle child, first child, no child, lots of money, no money. Jealousy has no business. That's the flesh. The characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice this. Love should always be in season. Love isn't boastful. Love isn't prideful. Comparing your house to somebody else, that's not love. So proud and so prideful that you won't worship, or you stand around judging somebody else's praise and worship. So proud and prideful that you won't give, participate, sign up, show up, help, stay late, support, rejoice, or congratulate. But you always have an idea, a better way, an excuse, or why not me? That's not love. For everything. That's not love. No, you've got a cynical attitude is what you got. That's the works of the flesh. That's not the works of the fruit of the Spirit. Cynical, distrusting or disparaging the motives of others. Showing contempt for accepted standards of honest or morality. You're bitterly or you're sneering. You're pessimistic. We shouldn't be pessimistic. We ought to be optimistic. We ought to be people of faith to say, you know what? With man, this is impossible. With man, this is not possible. But with God, all things are possible. That's the kind of people we ought to be. We ought not to be cynical people. That's not the works of the Spirit. That's the works of the flesh. Examples. They didn't worship. They didn't bring anything to the potluck. I've said that myself. Trust me. But they took plate home of food home. I know. That's not love. I know. They don't give as much as we do. If I was in charge, I'd put a stop to this. That's not love. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. Let's have love in action and in deeds. Let's speak the truth in love, as Ephesians 4:15 would tell us. Let's have solutions. How about if you went into a meeting on your job, instead of complaining about stuff, you say, I have a solution. Woo-hoo. Yeah. That'd probably freak everybody out. Negative Nelly, they call you, right? They may not call that to your face, but yeah. What if you had a solution? What if instead of being cynical, you started praying for that person, that leader? That's love. A love that doesn't keep score. You owe me. Love doesn't keep score. Romans 13:10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is patience, long-suffering, doesn't give up. Love is covered in mercy and grace. One of the scriptures that I quote often, Lamentations 3. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Love is always in season. Just a few more minutes. How about the works of the flesh? We're putting that to rest and working on ourselves to let the Holy Ghost produce love in us. Not a spirit of indifference. I see that a lot in churches, not necessarily Revival Tabernacle, but a lack of interest or concern. Spirit of indifference, unimportance, absence of feeling. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. Attitudes and comments of, I just won't go. Take my ball and go home. Oh, it's not going to work. I can tell you that right now. It's not going to work. Been there, done that. Not going to work. Oh, they're just sinners. Don't mind them. They're just sinners. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Woo-woo. We were sinners. Christ died for us. That's what it says. Romans 5:8. If you're taking notes, write it down. No, it's not on the screen. But when you were a sinner, God died for you. Oh, they get all crazy when they worship. I'm going to do my own thing. They don't ask. I'm not going to help. Just tiptoe out. Oh, it's just a new convert zeal. It'll rub off. I hope it rubs off. I hope it rubs off on you. Come on. Come on. Always in season. Love is always in season. Sister Ellen would come. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is always in season. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Think if Brother Ronnie, come stand up here. Think if this was Brother Ronnie. Speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And have not charity or love. Become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though you have the gift of prophecy, wow, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though you have faith so that you could remove mountains, wow, but you have no love, you're nothing. And though you could bestow all goods to feed the poor and give your body to be burned and have not love, it profits you nothing. Thank you. Love suffereth long, is kind. Love is doesn't envy. Love is not proudful. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave unseemly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Yeah. Some of us get excited about what I heard on the grapevine. Yeah. Not the song. Somebody, a little birdie told me. That's not love. Come on, that's not love. Love rejoices in the truth. Love. Fact or fiction? Love. I said it earlier, speak the truth in love. So we stand tonight. Love doesn't fail. How do you show love? Are you showing love? Unlike our sinful nature, letting the Holy Ghost guide us will produce the fruit of the Spirit or the characteristic or attribute of love. Notice this. Do you find it hard to forgive? Consider this. Though you have changed a thousand times, He hasn't changed once, and He still loves us. We teeter-totter through life. We have our highs and lows, our peaks and our valleys, but He still loves us. That's the agape love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Notice this. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He had given us His Spirit. The Holy Ghost. Would you lift your hands tonight? Would you let the Holy Ghost begin to minister? Have free reign. Love. Love. You can't love God and hate your brother. You can't love God and hate your neighbor. Love. Oh, love. Help me to do better with love, God. I know there's personality conflicts. I know, God, that there's troubling times and people I got to ask for forgiveness for, people I got to forgive, and there's things that they have done and I have done, I have said, and things happen. But love. I want the fruit of the Spirit of love to be manifested in my life. The altars are open this evening. Sister Ellen blesses us with song. Would you find a place to pray? Would you take a few moments before we go home and be transparent with the Lord tonight about ourselves? Talk to Him. Hallelujah. Moving in our. Oh, that's it. I worship You. Turn the monitor up for the piano, please.
You are here.
Hallelujah.
Rearranging destiny.
Jesus, Jesus.
I worship You. I worship You.
I love You, Jesus.
You are here. Turning lives.
I love You, Jesus. Maybe you start off your prayer that way. With I love You, Jesus. Help me, Lord, to show my love toward my brother or sister, God.
You are here.
I love You.
You are working miracles.
Because You first loved me.
I worship You.
I love You, Jesus.
I worship You.
Come on, we love things sometimes more than we love God.
Miracle worker, promise keeper.
Our brother and
sister's
hurting.
Light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are.
Where we're going more than we would love them.
We make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God.
It's the working of
the Holy Ghost. That is who You are.
It's the production of the Holy Ghost. It's the fruit of the Holy Ghost.
We make a miracle worker.
You can speak in tongues all you want.
promise keeper.
As loud as you
light
want.
In the darkness,
you
my God, that is
you can put
who
a lot of money in the
are.
Offering. But if you don't have love, you're just making
Rainmaker.
A bunch of noise.